As I said last week, I've been kind of pushing some sermons to later times, and this is one of those sermons that I pushed back a week. Ryan Petrus and I were talking about the concept of religious titles, how people refer to different people by different names, designations. And this is something that as a minister of the gospel, I am asked this on a regular basis. I'm referred to as pastor many, many times. I usually don't correct it unless someone says, so you're the pastor at that church, right? And I say, well, I'm the preacher. I don't necessarily go into some long debate with them about what a pastor is and what a preacher is. But if I have an opportunity, I'll try to bring it back to biblical language. In fact, about a year ago, whenever we had our special weekend where the newspaper announced that Westlake had a new preacher, the editor had chosen the headline for it as Westlake has a new pastor or something along those lines. And Clint assured me, he said, I didn't have him write that. But that's just the way the religious world thinks, that the preacher is the pastor. This is the norm among the religious, especially among so-called Christians. There is often this viewpoint of a distinction between the quote-unquote clergy and the quote-unquote laity, that you have the leader of the church and then you have the members of the church. Often there's a lot of other organization hierarchy that goes into that, but the pastor or the priest, depending on if you're in Protestant religion or Catholic religion, is seen as the leader of that local congregation. And what I'd like us to do this morning is look at what the Bible says about religious titles. We could go straight to Matthew 23, but we're going to hold that off until the end of the study. What I'd like us to do is first just take a look at what is the norm among so-called Christians today, what was the norm in the New Testament times, and then to see how God feels about the use of religious titles. Some of the common titles that are used today are pastor, especially in Protestant religions, denominations, father, more common among the Catholicism or Greek Orthodox, reverend, elder, bishop, and apostle. All these designations are used to describe leaders in various Christian religions. But I would say that Catholics and Protestants use these designations most often to describe their leaders, or more often, the singular leader over the congregation. In fact, the name priest in Catholicism is a form of the word for elder, a presbyter, and pastor is the word that is often used, and in the New Testament is a shepherd. So some of these words have their base in the New Testament, in the Bible, but I think more often than not, these titles, these descriptions, are used in a way that the Bible does not use them. And then we're going to see at the end of our study that some of these quote-unquote titles should never be used of people today. So what's most important is that we find out, what does the New Testament say about its leadership? What designations does it use for various roles within the church? And how should we be speaking today? It matters what words we use in the Lord's church. We need to make sure that we are accurately representing the Scriptures, not only in what we do, but also in what we say. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the utterances of God. Or as one popular paraphrase says, if anyone's going to speak, let him make sure that he's speaking the very words that God would speak. And so let's make sure we're speaking as God would speak. Let's look at leaders in the New Testament. Leaders in the New Testament. I want to suggest at the very beginning, and this may be a surprise for some who are visiting with us, that the role of preacher and pastor is not the same. Sometimes their work, their role will overlap. Sometimes a preacher can be a pastor and a pastor can be a preacher, but they are not identical roles, and it is dangerous to blur this distinction. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says that after Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, and what he gave was for some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Some of your translations may make the distinction not threefold of evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but evangelists and pastor teachers. I don't know that that latter one necessarily needs to be united, but you definitely have two distinct roles of evangelists and pastors. In the religious world today, most think of evangelists as those who are just the traveling missionaries, those who go place to place planting churches. And while that can be within the role of an evangelist, we see in the New Testament that there were certain evangelists who stayed in a single location, like Philip, who was the evangelist who worked in Caesarea for probably 20 years or so. But the word evangelist is just the Greek spelling of a preacher or a messenger of good news. And so what we would call a preacher, they would call an evangelist. And then you have a pastor. So there is a distinction between the preacher of the good news, and the pastor. As we look at these descriptions, we find that in distinction to the preacher, to the evangelist, you have the pastor, who is also called an elder, who is also called a bishop. Now, in many churches, the hierarchy separates these offices. But what we find is that this is just describing a single role within the church. In fact, we find all three forms in either noun or verb form in 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you have your Bible? Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. Now here we see that some people can fill multiple roles within the church because you have Peter as an apostle, that's one of those gifts in Ephesians 4:11, also serving later in life as an elder. And he says here, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Notice what he says. "Shepherd or pastor the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd or the chief pastor appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Now note that he, as an elder, is speaking to the elders among this flock of this church. And he says, you are to exercise oversight. That is the verb form of bishop. A bishop is merely an overseer. So you have elders who are told to do the work of a bishop. And he says, you are to shepherd or pastor. And so all three of these concepts are brought into one. It's merely describing different aspects of the same group of men. They are to be older and wiser. They are to exercise oversight, and they are to guide or shepherd the flock of God. Why? Because they are under shepherds or under pastors, and there is a chief shepherd or a chief pastor whom they serve. And so you have the unifying or the joining together of this office. And there are other places that we'll look at in just a moment that bring these concepts together. Now, what is different from the New Testament pattern and most churches today is that this group of men, known as pastors, elders, or bishops, who are to oversee the flock of God which is among them, you always see a plurality and not merely one who is over the church. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says that they're encouraging them that through many sufferings they must enter the kingdom of God. But he says that Paul and Barnabas went to each church, every church, and established elders in every church. Now, if he had said established elders over the churches, we might say, well, there's a possibility you could have just one over a church. But he specifically says elders in every church, from plural to singular. There is always a plurality of elders in each and every local church. That's why whenever you get to Acts chapter 20, he calls the elders of Ephesus to come to him. And whenever you look in the church in Jerusalem, you have the elders who joined together in Acts chapter 15 with the apostles. You always have more than one within the local congregation. They are the ones who are to shepherd. They are the ones who are to oversee. What happens if you look at a church and see that they have one pastor or one priest, priest being another form of elder? They're not following the pattern of the New Testament. Now, that's what most people do today. They have a senior pastor or one pastor who is over. As the church grows, they start adding additional pastors over various ministries, or maybe in certain religions you might just have a priest, and then that priest is under many bishops or cardinals or the Pope. All of these are designations, but you don't find those kinds of designations and that kind of organization in the New Testament church. Now, if we weren't concerned about following the New Testament pattern, that wouldn't be a big deal. We could let it grow and let tradition take us wherever it takes us. But if we're concerned about going back to the New Testament pattern, we're going to have to follow this pattern of more than one elder, who is also a bishop, also a pastor, in a local congregation, and they are the ones who lead the church, not the evangelist, not the preacher of the gospel. Now note here, as we continue, that pastors have to meet certain qualifications that are not required necessarily of preachers. Yes, we should all be trying to attain that blameless status that is spoken of in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, but there are certain qualifications of elders that they must meet. Now let's just take a look at this very quickly. You can read 1 Timothy 3 on your own, but let's read Titus chapter 1 together. And notice again that in this passage, you're going to have these designations, these descriptions of the role of an elder described in various ways. You have in verse number 5, an evangelist, Timothy, who is working with the various churches in Crete. And Paul, as an apostle, had left him there to start establishing things in these churches. So he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town." Notice here that you have elders in every town, not elders in the towns, but elders in every town, as I directed you. "If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife." Now, some people try to suggest that it's only if he's a married man that he has to do this. You could have elders who are not. That's not what it says. It says here's the qualifications for an elder. He must be the husband of one wife. That automatically excludes certain pastors who are claiming to be pastors today. That excludes female pastors, and that excludes unmarried pastors or elders. The elder must be the husband of one wife, and he has children who are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. That now limits the office of elder to one who is a man, who is married, and who has faithful children. Notice, for an overseer, now the elder is called an overseer. This is connecting. The four is not giving a new idea. It's continuing the same idea. For an elder, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict. And so now you see all these kind of coming together in the qualifications listed in Titus chapter 1, that you have elders who are also called overseers, who are going to be shepherding the flock by teaching the flock according to sound doctrine. But he says there's only a certain type of person that can fill this office. Must be a man, husband of one wife, having faithful children, who is a blameless man, who lives the Christian life the way it is meant to be lived. Now, for this reason, I am excluded from being a pastor in this congregation. I'm not an elder. The gray hair may mislead you, but I am not old enough to be an elder, and my children are not old enough to be faithful to the Lord. There has to be qualifications met. And when you walk into a church that has a female pastor, has an unmarried pastor, has a pastor who has not shown his ability to lead by having faithful children, who is not living the way he should, that shows you that that church is not following the pattern of the New Testament. Over in Fiji, I'm going to be going over there in a couple of weeks, one of the lessons that is very intriguing to people over there is a lesson that my dad has sometimes preached and I've kind of hit on as well, counterfeit churches. If you look at the true church in the New Testament, you can see the counterfeits. You can see those that are not following the pattern. Now, what does Jesus tell those types of churches? He tells them, get back to the pattern, repent, go back to what it should be. And follow the sound doctrine, but do it heartily and do it zealously. Read Revelation 2 and 3 for his encouragement to churches that are not following God's pattern the way they should. But if you're part of a congregation and you've tried to convince them of what the truth is and they're not willing to follow that truth, it's time to step away and do what is right. You can only fellowship those who are following the New Testament pattern or who are working in that direction. Now note also that the pastors, not the preacher, are the ones who oversee the flock. And their oversight as pastors is only to extend to the flock that is among them. If we're part of a church that has the preacher who is serving as the only pastor, or if you have a presbyter, a priest, who is over a church or over multiple churches, they're not following the New Testament pattern. It doesn't mean they're not sincere people. It doesn't mean they don't believe that there is a God. But we've got to get them back to the New Testament pattern, just as we ourselves need to be constantly going back to the New Testament pattern. God knows what he's doing, and he asks us to do what we do for our good. We should always come back to what God has said. So unless a preacher is part of the eldership, and we see in 1 Timothy 5 that a preacher and can be a part of the plurality of elders that are in a local church, but if he is not part of that established eldership, then he should not be referred to as pastor, elder, or bishop. He is a preacher. He has a work that he must do, and though there are some overlaps in teaching and encouraging, it is the pastors, the elders, the bishops, who are also called overseers, who are to lead the congregation. It is not the preacher. He is to focus on the preaching and teaching of God's word in the community and in the church, and he does his work, and the elders do their work. So I want to talk very briefly about the problem with using these kinds of titles, either incorrectly or using some titles that should never be applied to Christians. First of all, certain titles are applied incorrectly. For instance, as we've already seen, there are many churches that use the name or the title pastor in a way that does not describe the office as it is related in the New Testament. And so when we start calling people pastors who are not pastors, then again, no matter how sincere we are, we're not following the sound teaching. We're not teaching and representing the New Testament as we should. Does that mean that this church is perfect because we don't refer to the preacher as a pastor? No. But it means we're trying to work in the right direction. And that would be my encouragement to any church that has its problems. Go in the right direction. Move back to the New Testament. Restore New Testament words to their proper use. But then we also see that there are some descriptions that should never be applied to Christians. We're going to look in Matthew 23 here. I'm going to come back to this. But I believe titles in general should not be used. I don't think we need to call our pastors Pastor Eric or Pastor Don or Pastor Clint. That is the role they fill. That is the work they do. But they are not seeking those titles. We don't need to call them that. There's nothing wrong with saying they are our pastor, they are our elder. But whenever we start seeking titles, that's the problem. And there are some that Jesus says we should not use altogether. Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. Jesus says, "But you are not to be called rabbi." That's the Hebrew and Aramaic word for teacher. "For you have one teacher, and you are all brothers." So that doesn't mean there's not teachers in the Lord's church. He said that Jesus gave some to be teachers. He says, seek the title of rabbi. He says, "And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven." Notice that he's not talking about our physical fathers. This is in a context of religious titles. So not rabbi, not father, for you have one teacher and you have one father. "Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ," or the Messiah. We're going to look at the subsequent verses, so don't close your Bibles yet. But notice that he shifts the voice here a couple of times. He uses the passive, then the active, then the passive again. Don't be called rabbi. So don't seek it for yourself. But he also says, don't call anyone your father. Call someone else that. And don't be called instructor. So as he's talking to his apostles, as he's talking to his disciples, he says, don't seek it for yourself and don't seek to give it to someone else. These are terms that apply to Jesus. These are terms that apply to God. You have one leader, one teacher, one father. You must give the glory and the honor to him. Don't seek those titles. Now, whenever someone starts calling someone father as a religious title, that seems to be in clear contradiction to the teaching of Jesus. We're not to call anybody on earth our father. We're not to exalt them to that position, for we have one father. We're not going to substitute our one father for someone here on earth. We're not going to substitute our one teacher for someone here on earth. Even those that teach us are not our teachers, because they're just being the voice of the one teacher. And even those who are our quote-unquote spiritual fathers, as Paul was to Timothy, is not really his father. He's just guiding Timothy as a son, because we have one father who guides us all. Jesus is condemning the use of titles in a way that is prideful, arrogant, and that is unwarranted according to the New Testament. Now, I will say, just for our benefit, because sometimes we make the argument, one should not be called Reverend so-and-so because only God is worthy of worship. And I think that is a true statement. However, we need to always make sure we're describing things in Bible ways. I don't think we should use reverend as a title. But that very word is used in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, where it says older men need to be dignified, need to be revered, they need to be honored. And so a man could be older without being titled elder. A man could be honored or revered without being reverend. What we're noting here is that we can describe people in ways without giving them improper titles. Jesus says, don't use these titles in a way that exalts man to a position he should not be in. In fact, look at how he follows this up in verses 11 and 12. Titles are merely descriptions of work and should not be used to exalt men. Descriptions of work, descriptions of character. So we use them in Bible ways, not in the way men use them today. Look at verse 11. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It's dangerous to use religious titles. One, because they can exalt men. One, two, because they can demote God. And three, because Jesus said, don't do it. And that should be enough for us. What I hope we're seeing is that Jesus has established leaders in a local congregation. He's used descriptions of them to describe their work. Older, wiser men who shepherd and guide the flock, who oversee the work that is being done. But they are not legislators, and they are not above anyone else. We are all brothers. We are serving one teacher. We are serving one father, and he is the one that we must give our allegiance to. We have no need for a mediator between us and God other than Jesus Christ himself. So we don't need a special priesthood, a special clergy. We are here together, working together, doing what we can according to the talents that Jesus has given to us, Ephesians 4, verse 11, so that, verses 12 and 13, we all do service and we all build each other up. We're part of the same body, and we only have one head, Jesus Christ. And so we give him all the titles. We give him all the honor. We give him all the glory. And we, no matter who we are, stand at his feet and say, we are unprofitable servants, merely doing what is our duty to do. So, I don't expect you to call me pastor, because I'm not. I don't expect you to call me preacher as a title. That is the work I try to do. But we are brothers. And so we can be a family without using words in unbiblical ways and applying titles in ways that we never should. Let's do Bible things in Bible ways. Speak Bible words the way God has spoken. Would you pray with me? Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have made us all part of one family under the headship of Jesus. Father, help us not to exalt ourselves or anyone else, but to merely give all the glory to Jesus, to you, to the Spirit. Father, help us to realize that you are our Father, that Jesus is our teacher, and that we are all brothers. Help us to remain committed to organizing as a local congregation according to your pattern, realizing that you have established the names and qualifications of your leaders. Help us to serve under the oversight of our elders here. Father, help us to do our work as special servants, those who are deacons, as preachers, as teachers, as members. Help us all to serve, to remain humble, and to realize that we are unprofitable servants and that you deserve all the glory and the praise. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I know that some of the things that I said today are not appealing to those who are in other religious affiliations. But my intent in this sermon is merely to lovingly speak the truth, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15. And so if this is what the Bible says about its leadership, let's do it the Bible way. God knows what's best. And if we find ourselves lacking in an area, we are constantly trying to restore New Testament Christianity. We have not arrived as a church. We've not arrived as individuals. We are in need of the grace of God to cover our sins, and we need His instruction to move forward in life. And so if there is any way that we can help you to learn more about God's pattern for your salvation or for the local congregation and our organization as a local congregation and our service as brethren, let us know how we can help.